welcome to another edition of Shattering Myths. Yada is currently unavailable.
Moving to Cincinnati.
There we go. And, yeah, to be a grandpa, that's where his son lives, and that's where his grandkids live, so that's where he wants to be. And Scott and I will be doing the show. How you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very good.
Good. I wanted to start out today. There was a group of questions but aimed at William, you know, who often calls in, William Padilla. And he had posted it in Unpopular, and it was almost laughable, where the person that was questioning William's belief, apparently, that's what this really is. And they had been having a back and forth and some email discussion, and this was the latest posting this fellow posted towards William, and it says this: I apologize, but I am still unclear on what you are referencing as the Torah. Our discussions have bounced all over the place, and I just want to be sure I fully understand what you're referencing as the Torah. Was Jesus Torah observant? Well, you know, probably not, because there was no Jesus, and, you know, Bugs Bunny and Bozo the Clown were not Torah observant either. According to Jewish tradition, he was not. Wow. There are multiple times he worked on the Sabbath and challenged the teachings of Moshe, of Moses, of course, he says. Well, that's untrue. He never challenged any of the teachings of himself that were reintimated by Moshe. He did challenge the rabbis and their teaching, but never challenged the Torah. He was the living Torah. And with that, I'm just going to get into a couple of things here that, you know, a person might want to pay attention to, especially anybody that thinks that Yahusha was not Torah observant. And I'm going to start with out of the Dead Sea Scrolls, Malachi. It's one of my favorites, really. And this is 2:5. My familial covenant relationship exists with him. Life and salvation, I gave them to him reverently and respectfully. He reveres and respects me on account of the presence of my name. He is awesome and astonishing. So, you know, he carries Yahweh's name. It's the presence of Yahweh's name all over this Masiyah he's talking about. Isn't that right? That's what he just said, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, that's a good that's a good synopsis of what he said. Yes.
Yahweh's name's very important to him. You know, it's taught in the in his instructions. Very, very important. Yahusha is a combination of Yahweh and the Paleo-Hebrew word yasha, which means saves or salvation, rescue, deliver, you know. So Yahusha is Yahweh saves. Jesus, of course, is no more important than Rumpelstiltskin, as an example. He's going on to talk about this Masiyah. And, of course, this guy's apparently that's debating with William is very conflicted about the Torah. And he's pretty sure this fellow he calls Jesus, I'm just going to call him Yahusha, was opposed to the Torah. Remember, he even said right there that he debated teachings from Moshe. But let's just use God's words to figure it out. Because in Malachi 2:6, he says, the trustworthy and reliable Torah will exist in his mouth. Wow. Wickedness will not be found in his lips. That would be anything opposed to the Torah. In healing, reconciliation and in uprightness he walks with me, and many he reconciles, returns, and restores from sin, which sin is really just missing the mark. So in order for the Messiah to fulfill this prophecy, the Torah would have to flow from his lips. Isn't that right?
Yeah, you would have to be Torah observant. Yes.
Right. Now, he brings up that, you know, as far as he's, I guess, the purveyors of Judaism, he says Jews, but that would be Yahudi, really. He claims that the purveyors of Judaism, you know, according to their traditions, he was not Torah observant. And so let's look at the traditions of Judaism, or what Yahweh has to say about them as far as, you know, them being Torah observant. He says this, "For the lips of the clerics should carefully observe and consider," that's shamar, that's an important word, and it means to observe and seriously consider and think about the knowledge and understanding. Search the Torah from his mouth, because indeed he is Yahweh's messenger. So the very people that he says, according to their tradition, didn't find Yahusha Torah observant, he tells them they should pay attention to what's coming out of his mouth, you know, because the Torah is coming from his mouth. He says, "As for yourselves, you have turned away from the way, causing many to stumble. By your instructions and teachings, you corrupt and invalidate the familial covenant relationships," says Yahweh, "of the assembled helpful envoys." And that's Malachi 2:8. In 2:9, he goes on to say, "So now then, I will give you over to be despised, to be afflicted on behalf of all the people." So you see, the people that have determined that Yahusha was not Torah observant or couldn't find Yahweh's presence in the very Torah, these are the people that they're going to be despised. You know, those who afflict souls of others will have their souls afflicted just as well. It's a quid pro quo. Now, he goes on to finish in Malachi 2:9, "As relationally you are not observing my way and are not lifting up," this is important, "pane, my presence in the Torah." But where's Yahweh's presence in the Torah? It's all over the Torah in a very physical form. All of Yahweh cannot fit in a body, but he can certainly take human form and interact with us when he wants to. And now Yahweh just said, "My presence." The reason for that is because Yahusha is a diminished part of Yahweh. He's a part of Yahweh in a diminished form, I think is probably a better way to say it. You know, there's only one way to Yahweh, and that's the path of the Torah. There's no other way. Those who observe it are going to be lifted up. They're going to endure in God's presence. And those who don't respect the Torah, well, they're going to experience an opposite fate. If I go to Yashayah, which means, that's that word Yasha again, meaning salvation. And of course, Yah is for Yahweh, so salvation is from Yahweh. Today called Isaiah 11:2. This is what Yahweh says, and he's speaking again about Yahusha. "The spirit of Yahweh shall rest and remain upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge. of all reverence and respect of Yahweh. And by reverence and respect, Yahweh's spiritual endeavors and results, and not by the appearance of his presence, will he adjudicate. And do not listen to hearsay. He will constantly speak and reason. Okay, there's a lot said there, but the high points I want to hit is, first of all, he's talking about Yahusha, and he's saying not to focus on the physical presence, but rather on the, you know, spiritual endeavors. Now, the spiritual endeavors that Yahweh spoke about that are the heart of the Torah in a book called Korah, which has been misnamed today, Leviticus, but if you look at Korah, it means called out. It's the very basis for the word Mikra, which is the Moed Mikra, and these are the seven called out assemblies. These are the way that Yahweh said he was going to settle all disputes. And that's why Yahusha acted as the Passover, Pesach Lamb, day one, well, it would have been Friday on our pagan calendars, but rather, but that first day he was fulfilling was Pesach or Passover. Then the next day, his soul went into Sheol and acted as a ransom for the family, for those who have decided to join the covenant. He took whatever punishment was due them. And it wasn't just the beating, and it wasn't just being put on an upright pole and crucified. The next day was, you know, it's kind of explained to be a little harsher than that when he's in Sheol. Then his nephesh, or nephesh, his soul, met back up the next day for Bakura with the set-apart spirit of Yahweh. Okay, this is Larry, and on with back with Scott for this segment. Now, you'll notice that Yahweh told the clerics, the people he said were, you know, had destroyed the covenant relationship, and they'd done it by way of their instructions and teachings, which were religious instructions and teachings. He said, you're not holding up you know, my presence in the Torah. And we all know what Yahusha means, and it's just another way to say Yahweh saves. It's a statement as much as it is a name, but it definitely holds Yahweh's name in it. He says so. That's one of the other reasons that you realize this name Yeshua is, you know, not accurate. That's Babylonian. He shared his words in Paleo-Hebrew, not Babylonian or Aramaic Hebrew. And we just learned that the spirit, set-apart spirit, and that would be the Ruach Kodesh, this is what it is that takes a human body and turns it into something very special, because it's set apart from who, Scott? I mean, who's the Ruach Kodesh set apart from?
Yahweh.
Yeah, yeah, right. Just a part of him, you know. A smaller part of him, but nonetheless a part of him. And he goes on, he says, and by reverence and respect for Yahweh's spiritual endeavors and results, and not by the appearance of his presence, will he adjudicate. Now, not by the appearance of his presence. That would be Yahusha, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I would think so, yeah.
But it's the entire spiritual endeavors that people are supposed to be looking at. They're not supposed to be focusing on one aspect of his physical presence. They're supposed to look at the overall spiritual endeavors and the results from those spiritual actions. And what Christianity does is it works like a leech, and what it does is it takes the one part, the physical sacrifice, on the upright pole, which of course they will tell you is a cross, and although that was never written, that's Satan's oldest satanic sign. That was one of the great tricks he played by having the cross replace the upright pillar or the upright pole that the upright one was crucified on. Instead, he turned it to a pagan cross, a sun cross. You know, that's why in the end, Halal ben Shakar, you know, means the arrogant son of the morning rising sun. That's why in the end, Yahweh says this is arriving and all these people are melting. They've been burned and blinded by the sun. Because, you know, Satan's most common ruse is as Baal in sun god worship. And so that's exactly what he's saying about him, and that's exactly what Christianity comes down to. So Yahweh said not to focus on his physical present appearance, but rather on the entire plan of his spiritual endeavors. Yet we have an entire religion based on the worship of his physical presence. Little wonder Yahweh has such a low regard for religion. These things are even explained when he's out there, you know, in Matanyah, 1917, what it says off the oldest parchment we have, or papyrus we have, is teacher, teacher, they come up to him, what good and beneficial thing shall I do to obtain eternal life? And Yahusha turns around and says to him, why are you asking me about what's good and healing and beneficial? There's one who is healing and beneficial. If you wish to enter into the next life, if you wish to enter into life, observe his instructions. You know, well, whose instructions? Well, Yahweh's instructions. And these instructions are Torah. That's what Torah means. It does not mean law. We know this because, Abraham observed and followed the teaching instructions or the Torah of Yahweh. And what had been written today is called Torah, hadn't even been put on script yet. Same thing with Noah. He followed Yahweh's instructions, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, right down to the building of the ark and the dimensions he was supposed to use. So, yeah, he observed Torah. Okay, we're back for another segment of Shattering Myths. I want to point out that I'm not guessing that Yahusha is a diminished part of is a part of Yahweh in a diminished form, because Yahweh says exactly that in Yashaya 49:6-7. He explains exactly where Yahusha comes from. He says this, he is a diminished part of me on behalf of you, existing as my servant to stand up for and establish and restoring the tribes of Jacob and to restore and preserve Yisrael. I will give you a gift to provide light to the Gentiles existing as I am to the distant limits of the land, earth, world, and space, says Yahweh, Redeemer of Yisrael, the set-apart one. So, Scott, can you think of any way, after hearing that and listening to what we've just said, that Yahusha could somehow be a separate part, a separate entity from Yahweh, totally separate, as in a the Babylonian Trinity, as in different personalities.
As a difference between Scott and Larry? No, there's no way. He says right there that he is a part of him, and he's going to give a piece of himself.
Exactly. You know, Yashayo 51:6 says, Yahusha was, is, and shall exist forever, and vindication shall not be abolished or destroyed. The Mizmor, or Song, or Psalm 118:21 says, I made a public announcement, openly acknowledging the greatness of your brand, you answered me, existing for me as Yahusha. Now, we could go to Zechariah, or Zachariah, which means remember Yah. And in off the Dead Sea Scrolls, 12:10 says, so they will look upon me, whom by association they pierced, mourning as one wails for an only begotten son, grieving bitterly over him as one suffers anguish over a firstborn. Now, Zechariah, that was dictated to Zechariah by who?
Let me see here. I got the notes. It was Yahweh. Yeah.
Sure.
Yahweh.
I mean, you know, he's saying it right there. I mean, flat out, they're going to look at me. And he's speaking first person there. You know, this is in the covenant writings. And he described being pierced and them crying over an only begotten son, grieving bitterly over the anguish of a firstborn. And at this point, you know, as we go down, what we see is we go further down into about 13:9. He says, look, I'll return to harvest this one-third in the fire. I'll refine them and test them as one does gold. They will summon my personal proper name, and I will answer them. So in, you know, Judaism, of course, they never use the word, but after 7 years of tribulation, they never use the name, I mean, which means they're anti-Semitic, because the word comes from Shem or name, they're anti-name. But so instead of saying G-D or Adonai, my Lord, they'll actually use Yahweh's name. And at that point, he says, and I will say, you are my people, and they will say, Yahweh is our mighty ones. Just like that. And so we know that it's Yahweh returning, and he's also called the suffering servant or the son of man in other places, but it's, you know, these are not names. It's his actual and only true name is Yahweh. So, you know, we've got somebody once saying that, you know, Yahusha is not the living Torah. Well, or he probably wasn't Torah observant from what he can tell.
Well, we just went through some stuff that kind of proved otherwise on that one.
Yeah, and this is why you know, you always go to Yahweh's words. Now, what I can do here is I can use some of the witness writings. I don't often quote them. I'm going to, because this was something Yahusha said in Matanyah 7:21-23. And it starts out, in Greece it would be U, that means not. And then it's pas, that means anyone. So, not anyone calling me Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but to the contrary, those in heaven are those who do my Father's will. And now, I want you to look at this group here that, first of all, I just said anybody that calls him Lord, Lord, not anyone, you know, is calling him Lord, Lord is going to enter the kingdom. And we know that typically religious people in Judaism or even in Christianity, what do they call him? Lord or my Lord? They do it over and over.
Question here. Listen to this. I just thought of this, and it might take us on a tangent that we don't need to go down. But in the kingdom, we're not going to meet Yahusha. He's not going to be there because you're going to have Yahweh, right?
Right. He says that's his one and only true name. Even in the millennial Shabbat, he'll be known as Yahweh, his one and only true name.
Yeah. So we're never going to meet him. Right?
Well, you know, I don't know that his physical I'm sure we will meet his physical manifestation, but no longer will it be Yahweh saves. He's already saved. It's just going to be, he's going to be known as Yahweh. So no, we won't be calling him Yahusha.
But once we're at that point, I mean, we'll be able to take his full, you know, he doesn't have to diminish himself for us anymore, correct?
Well, but only a part of him, undiminished, is going to, you know, land right, you know, during the Battle of Mogi Down or Armageddon. And it'll be so bright, it'll look like a constellation of stars. He's not going to gear himself down, you're right. And anybody not covered in the Ruach Kodesh at that time is going to melt. He talks about their tongues dissolving in their mouth and their eyeballs melting down their face. I mean, you know, they just dissolve. I guess it's going to, he's such a pure power. There's so much energy, you know.
Well, he's
that, but this time he's not gearing himself down. He's covering all the people that he sees as family at that point.
You would have to say that he's the source of energy. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, he's the one that created it all. I mean,
yeah, well,
we have no idea how to create energy.
Right. I mean, we know. Exactly. But I'm just saying all that energy, you know, he's going to show up. It'd be like, you know, could you or I, you know, say there's refined uranium and you know, it's our own size and we walk up and shake hands with it. You know, I mean, we're dead. Right. I mean, it's going to kill you.
Yes.
You're
going to
melt.
Probably even before you get up to shake the hand.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you're just going to melt. And that's exactly what's going to happen, you know, to the people not covered in the sunscreen or the Ruach Kodesh. Those that are have that envelopment on them, they're going to be fine. But to go on, he says, many will say to me in this specific day, and this is interesting because this only describes one religious group that I've ever even heard of, you know. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we speak inspired utterances in your name? And I guess these are the Pauline Christians that, you know, have a circus act where they pretend to heal people, you know, on Sunday. And didn't we prophesy in your name? And didn't we drive out demons in your name and perform many mighty miracles in your name? Again, this is only Christianity that claims to do all this, and yet they never use his name. And he says, at that time, I'll profess to them I never knew them. So right there, this is a very informative verse, you know, or passage, because, you know, everybody claims in the religious world that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's on one shoulder and Satan's on the other shoulder, and they're trying to pull you in their direction. Because after all, the religious God, his judgment stinks and he wants to know everyone. But, you know, you and I both know. Have you ever seen people you just don't want to know, Scott? I have.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands of them.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of them. Every day.
Right. You know, he's telling us right there he didn't know them. It's not like Yahweh's having an Alzheimer's moment. They never engaged him. They never engaged him. They never knew him. He never knew them. It was a quid pro quo. And he says, I will profess to them I never knew them, and you all must depart from me. Those who bring about that which is in a nomos. And you know what that means? It means opposition to the Torah. So anyone, and this is Yahusha saying this, anyone who was in opposition to the Torah, they're done. And that's, you know, I'm answering this guy engaging William with his own words, you know, with Yahusha's words, with Yahweh's words. And I hear Christians say to me all the time, the Lord answers their prayers. And I want to point this out in the Masal or word picture, Proverbs 28:9. One who turns his ear from listening to the Torah, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So what do you think the odds are Yahweh's listening to this guy's prayers when he says that this Jesus caricature was anti-Torah himself?
Not at all. I don't think he's listening at all. There's no chance.
There's not even a small chance. Now, I said what this actually says, you know, in the oldest parchment. When we come back, I'm going to read the copy of it, which was designed to throw people off. This is Larry and Scott. We're back here for another segment. What I had just read Matnya 7:21-23, and you'll notice, you know, he started out by saying, "Not anyone calling me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom." And he gets to the bottom line, and he says, "You people oppose the Torah." Well, of course, if you don't call Yahweh by his name, that's a clearly prescription of life right in the Torah. That's how he wants to be known. That's his maxim for all time, all places, and all generations. So the idea that we might mispronounce the name, it's a misnomer. You know, it's a straw man. He didn't say, did he, Scott, if you mispronounce my name, I'm going to kill you or separate you from the covenant. Did he?
No, he did not.
No, he said to use his name, and you know, it's more about understanding the name than it's about pronouncing it correctly. It was the rabbis that exalted themselves and gave themselves power by saying, if you use the name, we are the people that are going to listen to the way you pronounce it, and if you mispronounce the name, your sentence is death. So when they were in charge, they were as bad as the Catholics were during the Inquisition. It was all about power. So Yahweh never said any of these things. They said them. Now I'm going to go to the copy-edited verse in your standard King James Bible. So where it said, not anyone that calls me Lord, Lord, now becomes not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. So right away they've lied. Will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, perform many mighty miracles in your name? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. Wow. So those in opposition to the Torah became evildoers. And not anyone calling me Lord, Lord became not everyone. So do you think those might have been intentional, Scott?
I think everything is intentional.
Well, they have studied scribes that are translating this and putting it down on a piece of paper. And this goes into a religious book. And
I think everything is intentional. I think everything was done with a purpose. And told. I think we were warned about it.
Yeah, the purpose in this case was what? To get people off the name. You know,
you hide the name. You hide the name, and you muddy the path.
Yeah, and you're in opposition to the Torah. Yahweh Kanan, and this is a second century parchment, nothing older on what he said. For the reason the Torah through Moses was given, acceptance and truth through the Masiyah, Yahusha, came to exist. So according to Yahweh Kanan, the fact that Moses was given the Torah and he accepted it as truth, this led to the Masiyah, Yahusha, coming to exist in a physical form. Isn't that something? I mean, that's what it says in Yahweh Kanan 1:17. Yet, if we look at the King James Version book named after the sun goddess Biblia, what we see is, instead of for the reason the Torah, we see, for the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by way of Jesus Christ. Now, they changed his name. They took the Torah and called it law. which I think, by the way, that's another one of the big things that has killed billions of people. Because if you really look, if you take the rabbinic view of the Torah and the Christian view of the Torah as law, or even, you know, Paul's version, if you look at these things as law, well, then the Torah doesn't make any sense.